listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the second Across the Pondcast, a look back at day two of Wimbledon 2015. This is Ed McGrogan once again here to sort of break it all down, what happened on Tuesday at the Ellington Club, go through the results, see where things stand, in particular on the two halves of the draws that completed their matches today. That's what we're here to talk about. That's what we need to sum up after obviously an extremely busy day that concluded the first round of play, just about concluded, I should say. Just a couple matches not finishing due to light, one of them being Madison Keys and Stephanie Vogel. That's at 2-2 in the third. Vogel and Keys both actually pleading to the umpire to stop the match, and eventually did. Keys in that one loses a first set in a tiebreaker, puts a volley into the net at the end of it, but comes back from also a breakdown in the second set, takes the last five games, forces a third. You do get the feeling that that turnaround, I think, would carry her to that win if the match were to continue to on Tuesday. It will be interesting to see, of course, what happens with that night off that you have to really just sleep on the result, think about what happened, both good and bad. And it'll we'll see what Keys comes back with, because, the one player that you want to draw comparisons with Keys is to Jack Sock. I'm, switching draws here, but these are clearly the two youngest American players that, many people listening and watching on TV, of course, in the U.S., are curious to see about. And we were pretty close to both of them going down on day one before that Keys, switch in momentum there. Now, Sock goes down on day one. He drops his match to Sam Groth. Sock was seeded 31, got in the seedings for, I believe, the first time at a slam, but gets a very hard draw against Groth, and the reason for that is Groth is, a massive server, certainly more potent on grass than any other surface. We did see, Groth has more than that for his game. We saw that, actually, at the last U.S. Open, he got put on center court, at Arthur Ashe Stadium against Federer, held himself pretty well, all things considered. The guy certainly wasn't cowed by the spotlight there, and, I think was a tough draw for Sock, but that's really not to make excuses, because this, you have to say, is a pretty disappointing result for Sock, especially coming off of that real nice showing at Roland Garros. Whether it's clay, whether it's grass, you expect certainly Sock to get through that opponent with his skill, with really the kind of momentum that he's been building up for really this whole year, and we saw sprinkles of that last year. But this has really turned into, the focus is now squarely on him from a U.S. perspective, despite the fact that, John Isner remains a top-ranked player, and we shouldn't, discount that. But with Sock, I think you have to kind of be a little, head-scratching with a result like this. There was some injury to be considered in that match. He was taking treatment, but definitely a disappointing and obviously very quick Wimbledon for Sock. Could have faced Federer in the third round. This was a question that actually got lopped off of yesterday's podcast because we had some technical problems here. The question was about, basically, what kind of shot would you give Sock in that matchup? And, I promised you, I said it amongst the Scrabble and the static. I said to watch out for Groth, and that's exactly what Sock ran into. I gave Sock about zero chance of playing, beating Federer, I should say. You know, Federer, for his part today, you know, he takes care of business against Demir Duzmer, who he just recently played. I don't believe it was the French, but he definitely recently played him this year. And, you know, I think you can see that in the 6-1, 6-3, 6-3 score. You know, for Roger, it's always interesting to see, to hear Federer talk about, you know, all the opponents that he's played so many times before, and there are obviously just, you know, a slew of them, you know, with him being around for so many years. But, you know, Federer nowadays recently has been playing a lot of players that he's never played before ever. And that, and those are interesting matches to watch from both, you know, the player who has nothing to lose against Federer, but also strictly from Federer's perspective. You know, you want to see, I guess, another problem for Roger to solve. And for the most part, he's done just that. You know, he actually did play Sock pretty recently, I believe in Miami it was. And you continually see, you know, the really just the staying power of Federer against, you know, players that are mostly a decade or more younger than him. You know, like I said, takes care of business today, and really just doesn't show any visible signs of slowdown as he approaches 34. He's going to be 34 at the U.S. Open. You really get the sense that, like the Williams sisters, they do have the Rio 26 Olympics in mind. And for Roger, you know, that's a thing where it's unfinished business. He's not won that gold medal. And Rio is going to be on hard courts in the Olympics, like its ATP 500 event that was there this year. And for Roger, I think you can pinpoint almost directly to that as one of the reasons he really is still playing and still gearing up for tennis as he has been for his whole career. If people have asked me before about where I think Roger Federer's career ends, I think I could definitely see a scenario where 2016 is the end. I think he has the Olympics to play for. I think he has one more. I think he has another round of tours through the slams. I think he does that because he clearly is still one of the five best players in the world, for sure. He's the number two ranked player right now. I think you do get that sort of Roger farewell tour. It's not as if I think Federer gravitates toward that, but I think he'll do it essentially. I think he will do it and announce it for his fans. I think that is just the kind of player that he is. If you haven't read the Federer fans piece that Steve Tignor wrote for us, that's a great read, and I think it explains, you know, kind of the position I'm saying about Roger. And I think 2016 in Basel, I could see that being a very timely place and fitting place for Roger to call it a career. I don't know how I got into that a little bit, but just as I was thinking about where Roger stands, you know, we'll see. But at 33, Roger's still looking exceptionally good there. But I guess I just put it on the record there. Maybe that's my prediction for the future of Federer. Let's dive in, I guess, moving upward now from the number 128 slot in the men's draw. Let's go through what happened today in the men's game. Before I do, I want to say about questions, tweet them to @EdMcGrogan, EdMcGrogan, and we'll take them on these daily podcasts, the Across the Podcast. Like I said, I'm not in England. I'm in New England, in Danbury, Connecticut, to be precise. Looking out at a pretty nice night here, and like I said, we got a good day over at Wimbledon as well. Let's kind of go through the scores here. So Federer advances. He'll play Sam Querrey. Querrey beats Igor Seisling 7-5, 6-3, 6-4. Querrey and Federer, this will be a Thursday match. I give Query even less of a chance against Federer than I would of Sock. It would be the career win for Query, and I don't see it happening almost under any circumstance. Above that, you know, Sam Groth, like I said, advances. He will play James Duckworth, someone he knows well, fellow Australian. Duckworth gets through in five sets over Milek Djaziri. I think both, you know, grass courts are not unfamiliar to the Australians in general. You know, we sometimes see Australia even play Davis Cup ties on grass. They're one of the few nations that does that. And I think you know, we're seeing a little bit of a nice run here at Wimbledon for, you know, some of the not-so-obvious players besides Kyrgios, Tomic, Kokkinakis. You're seeing, you know, some of the lower-level Aussies progressing well into the second round here. Above that, Batista Agut, number 20, goes through. He'll play Benoit Paire. Paire over Yuzny in straight sets, actually. Nice result for Paire. I think another good fast court player. Above that, we have a qualifier. Nikolaj Basilashvili over Facundo Bagnis. And we have above that Basilashvili to play Feliciano Lopez, the 15 seed. Obviously, this is a very strong grass court section in general overall, with Lopez here as well. Both those two win in straights. Keep on moving up here. Jill Simone to play Blaž Kovačič. Kovačič, some of you may remember, was the player who, after Federer's win over Faya at the 2010 Wimbledon, I believe immediately tested him in the second round. I think he took him five, or it was at least a very tough four sets. Kovačič, big hitter, plays Simone. Not a big hitter, but a great hitter. Simone, number 12 seed. French section here, Mannarino and Monfils to play after that. Monfils obviously could find his way to Federer potentially. I wouldn't even look even close to head that far. I apologize for even mentioning it to begin with. Moving on up the last part of this half, Andujar plays Rusal. Andujar over Garcia Lopez in a minor upset, 29 seed. Rusal over Gulbis in what was not an upset. I had thought it was, but I have this still imprinted in my mind that Gulbis is a seeded player. He's ranked about 40 spots lower than Rusal now, as you see how things have turned pretty drastically for Ernie there. Mahut and Berdych to play in the next round. So the last tennis we saw today, if you were watching on ESPN, was Berdych beating Jeremy Chardy in four sets, four-set tiebreaker, ended close to 9:30 local time, and Berdych, that match, we weren't sure if that was going to continue. It actually ended up continuing about 10 or 15 minutes longer than any other match. Some others were suspended. This one kept going on. Berdych gets placed against another big-serving Frenchman in Mahut the next round. Mahut wins in four sets, three of which were tiebreakers. He won two of those three tiebreakers. Another tough test for Berdych there. Not a gimme by any means, actually. And then we go up to the top half of this aka the third quarter. This is where Murray and Nadal reside. Murray, the number three, he gets by Kukushkin today. That was threatening to be a tough match, with Murray forced to hold to send the second set to a tiebreaker. And the other two sets were 6-4, so, you know, I guess you want to call it the good early test. You know, this was it. Murray gets by him in straights nonetheless. Gets Robin Haas next. Haas has made some mark at Wimbledon before. Haas beats Faya, who I just mentioned, in four sets. Above that, you have Borna Coric to play Andreas Seppi. Seppi, the number 25 seed. Chorich continues to really have a nice year. I think he's still 18. 18 at the most. I don't think he's 19 yet, but Chorich definitely really showing that I think you're going to see some staying power. When you win a 9-7 in the fifth at Wimbledon against, you know, a very game player veteran in Sergei Stakhovsky, good grass player with a serve and volleyer, and not to mention he beat Roger Federer here 2 years ago. When you can hold off that in a fifth set 9-7 at that age, you're seeing a player who probably won't be unseated for that much longer. So Chorich gets Seppi. We'll see where that stands. Winner in all likelihood to get Murray. Above that, Karlovic to play Dolgopolov. Kind of a throw the water on the fiery Dolgopolov match, because you usually would see what Dolgopolov could do on grass, this crazy game, but Karlovic is going to give him none of that with the serve, obviously, and with the slice backhands. It's going to be, I expect Karlovic to win that one. Karlovic goes through against Elias Myhr, Y-M-E-R is the spelling, young Swedish player. Gets by him in four sets. Some talk about Elias as well, and as young talent to watch that we're seeing at this Wimbledon. Karlovic, Dolgopolov winner gets Tsonga and Ramos Vinolas winner. Ramos Vinolas wins in five over Istomin. Tsonga over Muller in five. I did not think Tsonga was going to get through this. That was my bust pick of the men's draw. It did take him five sets, 7-6, 6-7, 6-4, 3-6, 6-2. Good for Tsonga getting through that one, and we'll see where the 13 seed goes. Like I said, Karlovic could be waiting for him in round three. If he makes a second week, super impressive for Tsonga, and I'm going to give Tsonga the applause of the day, in fact, because he takes down my bust pick. I think I owe it to him. Applause of the day goes to Joe Wilfried Tsonga. Above that, Rafa defeats Thomas Bellucci in three sets. Very impressive play from Rafa. Bellucci is one of those sort of tease players who you always think is going to really light it up. Such a pretty game, I think, and a powerful one, too. Just does not have enough to really challenge Rafa on this day. Above that, you know, Rafa gets Dustin Brown next. Very fun match. Qualifier Brown over Lou. Lou, a nice grass court player as well. He beat Roddick here years ago. Wins in four. Above that, Beden to play Troitsky. Troitsky already up to number 22 seeding, really climbing back up from his position after the suspension a year or two back. So Troitsky, Beden, and then Brown, Nadal. And then moving up for the final foursome, we'll have James Ward to play Yuri Vesely. And that's, you know, Ward was supposed to play Ferrer. Ferrer, the seven seed, pulled out really last minute. Pospisil and Fanini will meet in the second round as well. Pospisil with a nice win, five-setter over Milo. Pospisil been kind of dogged with injuries most of the, for recent months. Fanini, you know what he brings, beats Smicek in straight sets, 30 seed. That's the men's rundown. Overall, I think the rich kind of get richer today on the men's side. Not much in the way of upsets at all. I mean, Sock's the biggest upset to me, and he's a 31 seed. Pretty standard fare men's side on the early going of the slams. Not so much for the women's side. Sorry for saying not so much. I really hate that phrase too. But the women's side, clearly some bigger upsets. I'm just going to interrupt here. I have to write something to my good pal Steve Tigner over in over stateside as well. Don't want to leave him hanging. And back to the podcast here. Steve may join us for a later podcast this week. We might catch up around middle Sunday. I think that'd be a good time to bring the crew back together for the reunion. And like I said, women's side, Halep goes down, Bouchard goes down. You know, when you say it, it doesn't even seem like a big upset, truthfully, a big pair of upsets. We've seen Halep go down early to slam. She just did it in Roland Garros. Bouchard has gone down early everywhere. She's now 2-12 in her last 14 matches. This is, you know, a Vince Spadia-like run here for Bouchard. Just zero confidence. She basically told you that in the press conference afterward, sort of, you know, ready to get out of this nightmare. I think just really looking to kind of move past these really high pressure events of the year. She did say she played Wimbledon through an ab injury, and so much so that she shouldn't have even played, but she decided to. I think, you know, as a defending finalist, I think that obviously has a big part in it. Yeah, you can't. I don't. You know, personally, you can blame Bouchard for a lot this year with her play, but I think giving it the college try at Wimbledon, despite an injury, is not the worst thing. What more damage can one loss like this really do? And I think I complain so much about how often players tend to, throw in the towel at some lower events to prepare with the slams, you know, just on the horizon as these huge pillars of the game. I give Bouchard credit for giving it a try here, woman. I really do. And for her sake, boy, you got to hope that the Rogers Cup begins her turnaround, because we'll see where she plays next. You can certainly bank on a break coming up for her, but we remember what happened with the Rogers Cup last year for Bouchard, going down 6-0 in the third to qualifier Shelby Rogers. That's tough on Tennis Canada with the Bouchard struggles for both of them. The one thing you can say about today being, you know, how much lower can I go? The issue with Bouchard, she goes down to a player ranked outside the top 100. Another qualifier ranked outside the top 100, Yingying Duan, defeats her. Halep also goes out to a player outside the top 100, Yana Sepulova. So two just, you know, dreadful losses. There's no other way to put it. You know, particularly Halep at number 3. That ranking is going to take a bit of a beating from this. Got pretty far last year at Wimbledon, and just a very, you know, between the French and Wimbledon, you could not have scripted a worse run of slams for Halep here. We'll see. She actually played her best this year on U.S. hard courts, and that's where we'll be seeing her next. So, certainly the Halep. We'll see where Halep goes from here. I think the questions about where Halep resides in the firmament of the, you know, the elite players, the Sharapovas, the Kvitovas. We're still trying to figure that answer out. She's still a young player. Like Bouchard has had some coaching changes recently, but certainly not the kind of consistency this year as we're seeing last year. But the expectations were higher, and as of this point, for the slams at least, has not answered them. They've been three pretty poor slams for Simona Halep, and we'll go from there with her. Okay, let's get into the women's results here on part two of this Across the Pondcast. As you'll see, it's on SoundCloud now. It'll be up on iTunes in a little bit. Access it through any number of audio mediums. And Simona Halep, you know, what does her omission leave the women's draw? Who does it open up things for a little more? She was occupied in the top half of the draw. And, the other seeds up there, Wozniacki, number 5, she wins her match today, 7-5, 6-0. She was actually, early on, looking to be down a set. Turned that around very quickly. And as you see, you know, really turn it around, gets a 6-0 second set over Seixi Zhang, not Zhang Ji, but wins that on center court. In fact, it was moved there because the Kvitova
and Federer and Murray matches were all so quick there. They put that one on fourth on center. Wozniacki, another quick one after a testing first set there for sure. Wozniacki will play Denisa Alertova, who beat Katerina Sinikova, two Czech players, neither of whom I could tell you much of anything about, but Alertova, three-set winner, 6-2, 4-6, 6-3. Below that, Laura Arab... Sorry about this. A lot of big names today. Laura Arabanera. That was horrific even from my standards. I'm the one who always kills people who can't pronounce names. Should be okay with my hockey background, but that is a mouthful, that one. She will play Camilla Giorgi, the 31st seed in the second round. Below that, we have Garbiñ Muguruza, the number 20 seed, 6-4, 6-1 over Lepchenko. That's one of the day's stronger results. You know, Muguruza, who you remember last year beating Serena at the French Open. You know, a good player, a great player, potentially on all surfaces with how heavy her game is, her really snap forehands, big serve. To get by Lepchenko, you know, much more seasoned player, 6-4, 6-1. Nice result there from Muguruza. She will play Mirjana Lucic-Baroni, who beat Shvedova, who had a golden set here at Wimbledon a few years back. 2010 or 2013 was one of the 2 years I was there. I just can't remember it right off the top of my head. Lucic-Baroni with an impressive win herself, 7-5, 6-7, 7-5. You know, tale of two wins there for Muguruza and Lucic-Baroni. They'll meet in round two. Opposite them will be Pavlyuchenkova versus Kerber. Kerber, you know, deals the third straight, not third straight, the third double bagel that we've seen in the first round of Wimbledon. 6-0, 6-0, of course, over Karina Witthoft, countryman right there. Pavlyuchenkova beats Mona Bartel in a nice win, 6-7, 7-6, 6-2. Kerber, you do have to really like where Kerber stands amongst all this. You have Halep going out. Wozniacki, you know, never has been a threat on grass. And, you know, is the highest remaining seed in this section. But Kerber certainly is a very strong player on grass. Has played well at Wimbledon before. Has won tune-up events. She beat Lezicki, but just before this event, a great grass player. You know, gets low to the ground, hits a lot of flat shots, forehand and backhand. I think you kind of have to give Kerber the favorite status right now, certainly with Halep going out too, to get out of this quarter of the draw. And 6-0, 6-0 start, you know, there's no reason to think otherwise based on how she's been playing, you know, thus far. Moving down the draw to Maya Baczynski, number 15, 6-2, 7-5 winner over Gerges. She'll play Sylvia Soler-Espinosa, a three-set winner today. Below them, here's Lezicki, number 18, and, you know, the Lezicki-Kerber quarterfinal. Certainly in play, I think. Lezicki to play Christina Mikhail. Both win in straight sets. Mikhail 6-3, 6-2. Lezicki 7-5, 6-4. You know, Lezicki, when we did our Wimbledon picks, she was the dark horse amongst, I believe, a unanimous dark horse pick. At least two of us, between Steve, myself, and Nina Pantic, our Tennis Tuesday editor, you know, like Lezicki's chances, former finalists, underseeded a little bit, probably at 18 for grass. And that Lezicki-Kerber match would be very nice to watch, I have to say. Moving on down, Kuznetsova, number 26, wouldn't sleep on her, actually. Again, kind of a soft section overall. Has the experience, has the game, you know, win 6-3, 6-4 today over qualifier Laura Siegemann of Germany. She will play Kristina Pliskova, not Karolina Pliskova, in the next round, who was a three-set winner today over Smitkova. Below them is where Halep would have been, and Halep loses to Yana Sepulova, 5-7, 6-4, 6-3. Monica Niculescu awaits 5-7, 6-3, 6-1 winner over Monica Puig. Overall, like I said, I think you're heading toward an eventual Ziki Kerber quarterfinal there, and I don't think it's really even that close with the rest of the competition. Those draws, Muguruza, will be interested to see where she takes things from here. You know, this is certainly, as I say, for Kerber, an open section. But Muguruza, will have a tough match with Lucic Baroni next, and likely plays Kerber next, of course. Kerber against Pavlyuchenkova, you know, that's a tough one too, actually. Maybe a little more depth in this section I was giving it credit for here. The opposite, the fourth quarter of this bottom half, Makarova, number 8, leads on top. She'll play Magdalena Rybarikova next. Makarova won 6-2, 6-4 over Sasha Vickery. Rybarikova over Karen Knapp wins by retirement 7-6, 3-0. Opposite that, Govrasova and Cornet advance. Cornet, number 25, who beat Serena here last year, wins 6-2, 6-2 over Anna Kanju, a very good young player. Cornet certainly would not discount your thoughts if you think she could go pretty far. Has the experience, has the game. Not going to be really cowed by Makarova either. Could be a nice match, 25-8 in the third round. The next match is the undecided match. Two first rounders ahead have been completed. Keys and Vogel in the third set. Wickmeyer and Elizaveta Kulichkova. That one is, check for you right now. That one, I am just trying to find the results. And if I don't in a minute, or in like 2 seconds, I'm going to pass it along to the next match. Sorry for that interruption there. That is also in the third set. Wickmeyer and Kulichkova split the first set 6-3 to Wickmeyer, 7-6 to Kulichkova, 1-1 in the third. Underneath that in the draw, this is where Dwan defeated Bouchard, the 12 seed. Pretty open draw here thus far. You know, Keys, if she wins with a nice little run, potentially the fourth round. Tatiana Maria to play Dwan in the second round. A winner today over Jovanovski, who we haven't heard a lot from in a little while. Certainly a player we were expecting a little more out of, but still very young. The bottom half of this, I think, pretty heavy quarter, Agnieszka Radwanska follows up her win with a Urzula win with one of her own, 6-3, 6-2 over Hideka. Nice win there for Radwanska. Haven't been a lot of easy wins for her lately. She'll play Alia Tomjanovic in the next round, 6-3, 6-4 winner. The winner of that to play the winner of Casey Dellacqua and Elena Svitolina, 17 seed, will play qualifier Dellacqua. Dellacqua had a very nice run at a slam recently, and might have been the Open, actually, last year. Again, this eludes me a little bit. 6-2, 6-2 for Dellacqua, 3-6, 6-3, 6-2 for Svitolina over Misaki Doi. Below that, the last foursome, Yankovic wins 10-8 in the third over Elena Vesnina. Match of the day on the women's side for sure. Very strong to get through that one. That's a tough draw for both players, I feel like, two veterans. Who've played a lot of Wimbledon's past. Jankovic just hanging on it at the 28th seed to the seeded mark. She'll play Rodina, who defeated Laura Robson 6-4, 6-4. Robson, British player, coming back from injury, wasn't expecting a whole lot from her at all in this Wimbledon. And finally, Kimuri Nara, a 3-6, 6-3, 4-3 retirement winner. I don't think she'll be winning her next match. She plays Kvitova, the defending champion, two-time Wimbledon champion, a 6-1, 6-0 winner over Kiki Bertens, won in 35 minutes. Kvitova's 6-1, 6-0 win was actually quicker than all three of the other double bagels that happened at Wimbledon. Amazing opener for the defending champ. Kvitova certainly looking already back in her element. And her section to lose, of course, her tournament to lose, potentially, would you even say? Probably wouldn't go that far with Serena how well she's playing. Certainly her half of the draw to lose. But there's a lot in the way here, and I think watching Kvitova getting tested as this tournament progresses will be one of the treats to see. You know, we know how amazing she can play on grass, but there's a lot of good talent in this half of the draw here. I said at the start with Lezicki and Kerber, Radwanska could get Kvitova in the fourth round, and maybe that's a good barometer of really how well Kvitova is playing. And, of course, of Radwanska for herself, too. Would love to see that one come to pass. Like I said, questions. Send your questions. Don't send them. Tweet them to @EdMcGrogan, E-D-M-C-G-R-O-G-A-N. And I'll take them on tomorrow's Across the Pondcast, where we will go over second-round play as it gets underway at the All England Club. So once again, thank you for listening to today's Across the Pondcast here on tennis.com. You can listen to this, all of them, on SoundCloud or on iTunes. Thank you for listening. This is Ed McGrogan. Toodaloo.
You've been enjoying the tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to tennis.com.